I don't understand it. But here's a kid. Her mother probably might have even kicked her out. I'm not sure. She's wild. The one that's going to talk tonight, you know, you call her whatever you want. I call her patio furniture. But you could call her whatever you want. She is delightful, and she's been my friend for how many years? 1970-something. 1970-something. And we've been friends ever since, and that's our Reverend Patty Walsh.
Yep, Reverend Toots and I have been friends for a long time. And she got that name honestly. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. And I have to say, I've missed you on Wednesdays, and I'm delighted that I'm back. And I want to talk about friends. And the friends that I've known at church, the leaders and the people that have taught me to be a better person, because I came here in sort of a rough form, and I've only brushed off a few little corners so far, but I wanted to share the people that passed on that some of you hadn't had an opportunity to interact with. Well, when I, years ago, and it was probably about the same time I met Melly, 71 or somewhere around there, I was taking a handwriting analysis class by Eldine Whiting, who still teaches. And my sister Glenda said, "Would you ask her if she knows any mediums?" I didn't know what a medium was. I thought it was the way you cooked your steak. And I thought, why is she asking me how to cook a steak? Anyway, so she said, "Let's go down to Second and Beach." So the whole class came down, and Reverend Alice was doing billet reading. And some of you have seen that, but she would have you, as you came in, you wrote a question down, and then Jim, her husband, put a number on the question and gave you a little circle with the same number. And then you sat in the church and she did the readings. And she'd hold that billet in her hand and she wouldn't even look at it. And she'd start talking to you. Well, I thought this was really cool. And she answered your question and then she went and looked at it and went, "Oh, okay." And that was the end of that. And I like to sit, I like to be about the last one so I could hear all of what she had to say. She was phenomenal. So that's how I got introduced to the Spiritualist Church. And she said to me, "Well, miss," and I'm sitting up a little bit straighter, she said, "You're very negative in your thinking." And immediately I said in my head, "No, I'm not." Always wanting to be in control, you know. And so I listened to what she had to say, and I started to pay attention to my thoughts. And I found that there was doubt, worry. I wonder if this can happen. It was that kind of negativity. It wasn't so much a real negative thought directed at a person. Oh, maybe one or two, but I wasn't counting those. So I started to pay attention, and I realized as I came to the church, every negative thought, whether it's doubt, worry, disbelief, oh, this couldn't happen, whatever, robs us of the positive energy of the unseen angel world. So if we have a goal of something we want and we keep tossing in a doubt, "Oh, I'm not smart enough," or "I don't have enough money to do this," then the energy gets pulled out of the project and they can't add to it. So I started to learn that, and it's an ongoing process, but I am getting better. Reverend Alice said, and I thought this was so cool. She said, you know, you have your energy focused in one area. If it's not working, take it out. Refocus it. And I thought, well, doesn't that make sense? And she said, don't put your energy into 5 or 6 different things, because then you have dispersed it too much. Keep it focused, and you'll accomplish what you set out to do. So that was another lesson that I learned. That was really cool. And then there was Reverend Ida Hill. Ida Hill was a riot. She had 8 children. Her husband died young, so she raised these 8 children as a spiritual minister, which I'm sure that wasn't easy. Her teacher was Sir Isaac Newton's love child, so she called him Newt. And when she needed some money, she'd say, Newt, I got to fix this screen door. I need a loaf of bread. Can you get me the money for that? And by gosh, she said it was down to the penny. So I imagine she learned to ask for maybe a little bit more than exactly. But she was always taken care of. And she was amazing to me. She was interested in everything. She really wanted to learn about the space people. She would go to any lecture around. And she really taught me how to discern whether something was real or not real, or helpful or not so helpful. I found that was wonderful learning with her. One day in class, she worked with Crazy Horse. And I really have a fondness for Crazy Horse. So we sat in the back of the Swedenborgen Church in that little room, and all the doors and windows were closed, and you could smell the strongest, blackest coffee coming around the circle. And she thought it was from someone, and Crazy Horse speaks up to her and says, I made the coffee. All the windows were closed. It was incredible. They used our energy, or he used our energy in the circle to create that smell of coffee. That was amazing. And then one evening, her little joy guide gave us the fragrance of flowers coming around the circle, and it went one person by one till it was all the way around. That was incredible. She said some of the funniest darn things. She'd say when someone was going to do very well, she'd say, you're going to come out the big end of the horn. I would get the giggles, because I'd think, geez, it'd be really awful if you came out the small end of the horn. So every time she said that, through my mind, it turned around. But what a neat lady. She also said, we had gone to a funeral, and she said, you know, you're pushing dirt around, dusting your whole life. And when you die, they throw it in your face. That changed my life. I don't dust anymore. It's rather pitiful. Or maybe I dust once a year, and that's about it. But, oh gosh, she was fun. And everything was so normal with her. After church, we'd go to Denny's because it was cheap. And so anyone could have a biscuit or some breakfast or something. And she would do readings like you and I talking back and forth, or like you'll see Miss Millie do. You know, just doing the readings for people. And it was fun, whether you got a reading or you were just listening to what she was saying. It was wonderful. So I learned a lot from Reverend Ida. Then there was Mike Cassell. Now, he was kind of a shorter guy. You may see some of these people. Why I'm telling you about them is I think you'd probably like to meet them in class. He was shorter. He was a little taller than I am. Red hair, medium frame, and he was so neat. He'd say, don't get too excited if you got that message exactly right. As long as it was positive, that's okay. You're doing all right. And he worked with men in prison, which was really neat. Because how many people do that? When someone's tossed in prison, it's very easy to forget them. And that was part of his ministry. Then there was Ivan Lakey. This man was older when I knew him, and he would do healing. He would stand up in front of the congregation, put his hands up, and send healing to everybody. Incredible gentleman. And then another fellow about his vintage was Art Peterson. And Art Peterson, by the time I knew him, had retired, and he worked as a volunteer on what's the boat?
Star Indian.
Yeah, thank you. Who said that? Thank you, Dennis. The Star of Indian. He was really neat. He was on the board for many years, and he had the voice of reason. And he always brought up really wonderful comments, very valuable to have around. And then there was Little Rose Rogers. She was the pastor of the church till she was about 93, if you can imagine, and cute. She had a little nun, Angela, who was her teacher. And she said, I don't know how the nun happened to pick me because I wasn't raised a Catholic. But that little nun liked her, and she was just great. Rose would say, don't push it, don't pull it, let it come to you. She must have said that every week or every time she spoke. It took me a couple years to really get it. And pretty soon, I learned patience, that you put the thought out, don't lace it up with any negativity, just leave it out there, and let the positive forces of the universe work on it and get everything set so you can just walk right into it. And so I found becoming a spiritualist made life so much easier because I could create the thought of what I wanted and put it out in the ethers and leave it there. And I could get busy doing other things, and pretty soon, whatever it was that I wanted, happened. Reverend Rose said to me, you're going to win some money. I said, I'm all for that. So it wasn't too many years after that that I got a letter from my mortgage company, and they said, your house loan is satisfied. Yes. And it was indeed satisfied. It was paid off, $72,000. And it was so interesting because when that happened, I thanked Rose for letting me know that that would happen. I was in a pool of money, and the interest rates had gone down. I think they were 9 when I bought the house. Yeah, it was high. And someone came around and said, how about doing a refi to get your interest rates down? And I was living up in LA at the time, and I was so busy working, I forgot about it, and they never came back. So that was that. So everybody else did a refi, and so they had their money taken care of. And so they couldn't keep charging me because they got all their money back. So I sat there all by myself in the pot with no money that I had to give, so the loan was satisfied. So she was right on that. That was really cool. Jim Bradford, oh my gosh, he cracked me up. He was one of the, and I can say this being Irish, he was one of these rigid Irish Catholics at one time, I'm sure. And I never saw him smile, the son of a gun. He never smiled. And he was just business all the time. Well, I don't draw to people like that. They're just too much for me. But he was good because he kept the money in the church and he kept the financial stuff going in the church and he actually preserved the church. And so he was extremely valuable to have. Well, Ida and Alice and Rose, the three ministers, were funny. They just had the best, the lightest sense of humor. So one day in the old church on 2nd and Beach, they're in the back room waiting to start the service, and this little mouse runs across the floor. I just said they got to giggling. That there was a little mouse come to visit. And Jim comes in and, oh my gosh, she said, he was furious. You need to behave yourselves. And they're grown women. And so Ida, being the more verbal of the three of them, said, you know, Jim, Jesus talked about laughter. And he said, that's a really wonderful thing for you. And then she left it at that. And I cracked up with that. And Ida said, oh, a dirty joke's okay. It's the laughter that counts. Because it gets your system working better. And it straightens everything out. So, you know, you need to laugh. She was my friend thereafter. Oh. So those were the ministers that I really drew to. They were just fabulous. You never heard from the time I came into the spiritualist church, you should, you have to, you must. You did hear self-responsibility. Make the choice. Put your energy where you want it. If you don't like it, take it out, redirect it. And do it again. They'd say you can walk on either side of the street. It doesn't matter, you're going to get there. One road is a little rockier, the other smoother, but it really doesn't matter. You'll get to the end result both ways. And I like that. I had been raised in a more dogmatic church that had all kinds of rules. Most of them were don'ts. And I got real tired of that. There weren't enough do this or do that. It was don't. So I talked to God in my garden for a number of years, and I didn't care to go to church. And when I walked into the spiritualist church, I felt like, oh my goodness. Now you can just read my thought. I felt like I had come home. It felt right to me. I could deal with self-responsibility. That was easy. All the blame and all that other stuff, I thought, who needs that? I obviously didn't anymore. So I became a spiritualist, and that was really fun. The last person I want to talk about is Jack Dobrin. He was a character. He was a lawyer, a younger fellow that was raised in a Jewish family, and then he became a spiritualist. And he gave a talk once that was just fabulous. He said, being a lawyer, I thought this was really good. He said, the law is always perfect. It's the same for you and me always. No one's more special than anyone else. So the law of cause and effect, what you sow, you reap. Okay, we can deal with that. And he talked about that, and that was really neat. He had a thought pattern that was just unequaled to anybody else. He looked at the present day and what makes things work in a church. He looked forward into the future, and he was just a delight. Plus, he was really funny. And he'd get people into trouble. He'd sit next to you in church, and he'd say these little sly comments. And he'd sit next to someone who would get the giggles anyway. And then he'd sit there like he was a saint, and you'd just be rolling off your seat, making a real scene. And he enjoyed that. He loved to eat. Sometimes he would go to breakfast, and he'd have three breakfasts. And he was slender. And you went, darn, how can he do that? It was fun. He got an educational committee together so that the church would pay people to go to programs and come back and teach the rest of the folks here. I really like that. He instituted the second collection, and he had a twofold purpose. One was to help people within the church, and the other was to do community projects so spiritualists would get known in the community, pardon me, for the things they do. I like that. And then he tried to organize a spiritualist council. That was a hoot. He got all the spiritualist churches together, and we'd get together for picnics and stuff. And as long as he was around, he was a great coordinator. It worked. When he died, it kind of fell apart. No one else could quite pull it together the way he could. But he worked as the historian, got the history of this church together. He worked as a vice president, the president, and just did a tremendous amount of work. I've got some pictures with me that I'll pass around of Jack and Rose and one of Ida. I don't have of some of the other people. He was instrumental in buying this building. Sharon Gibson and I went with him. I like to think we were his bodyguards. That's a joke. But we went down to the courtyard steps, and he had the satchel of money with him. And we were just standing next to him, protecting him. And bought the church on the court steps. That was real interesting. And he started the renovation. I was part of the demolition committee. I knocked down walls in here and thought that was really wonderful. And then he died before the carriage house was finished. So then I was the one that helped finish up the carriage house. But he had most of the things all set. Claire Balfour was a teacher who attended church. And in her will, she left money to do the carriage house, which is really neat. And I took a picture of her that was great. I think, was that in that box I gave you, Millie? I don't know. I had huge box of pictures I'd taken at the church over time. And there's a wonderful picture of her that would be neat to blow up and put in the carriage house. Robert Silberbauer was another teacher that I just loved. He taught English to kids in, I forget the school, but it was in a poor area. To get them to learn classics, he had them put on plays. And he was marvelous. He worked with Michael the Archangel, and then he worked with Alex, who was a little elf 3 to 4 feet high. And he worked with all the nature spirits, so we had a lot in common. He had the most wonderful yard. Everything grew in that yard because the little nature spirits helped him with that. It was fun. So I encourage you to ask these wonderful people, when you take a class, ask them to come to class and to show themselves and to work with you. They certainly had wonderful ideas, only a few of which I've shared with you tonight. But they made life so much easier for me, and I'm just thankful I came into spiritualism. This is a picture that will start around of Reverend Iden.